The reading today can be found on page 4 in your pew Bibles. It's taken from the book of Genesis, starting at chapter 2, verse 8. So that's page 4 in your pew Bibles, book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." We're going to just turn the page over chapter 3 and start again at verse 17. So pick up the story, chapter 3, verse 17. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Caroline, very good to see you all this morning. We're going to be learning from the Bible together. And we're going to be seeing today what the Bible has to say to us about something that we all have to do, and that is work. What does the Bible have to say to us about work? And it's a good time of year for us to be doing that, because it's really that time of year, isn't it? Now, I wonder who went back to school this week. If you went back to school, stick a hand up if you went back to school this week. Yeah, lots of us back at school this week. Ah, okay. Now let me ask, how's it been? How's it been being back at school? What's it been like being... I've got a thumbs down at the back there. I was going to... Oh, another one as well. What's it like being, you know, back in maths again? What's it been like, you know, more literacy? And maybe some homework. You get home, you've got to do some homework. Maybe let's just do a little pulse and see how people are finding. So if it's been good, let's have a thumbs up. If it's been a bit mixed, you can do a like that. And if it's been really not good, you can thumbs down. So children, like, give us an indicator. How's it been? Up, down, up. So quite a few thumbs up. Can't see many thumbs. Thumbs higher. I just can't see them. But thumbs, okay. Quite a few wobbly hands and a few thumbs down as well. Okay, yeah. Okay, so that we all know that sort of back-to-school feeling. Don't you know that back-to-school feeling? And children, guess what? Guess what? The adults feel it too. They feel it too because they have to go back to work. Yes, adults. Any adults who in the last few weeks have had to go kind of back to work after a break, stick a hand up. Okay, let's find out how it's been. Has it been up or down or, let's see, adults? Lots of those. Okay. So work is something a lot of us struggle with, don't we? Sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it's awful, and then quite a lot of the time it's kind of... So today we're going to get some top wisdom from God's Word, the Bible, about our work. So it'd be helpful for us, no matter what your work is. Maybe your work is you have to do it at school, or maybe it's in an office, or maybe you work in a classroom, or maybe it's outside work you do, or maybe it's in a factory, or maybe you work in the home. That's where your work is. But it'll be helpful to us to see to learn some lessons about work. Now I'm very excited to tell you that we've got a special guest who's coming to join us today to teach us all about work. But our guest hasn't actually turned up yet. So awkward. tell you what, there are a couple of lessons I think we can learn while we wait. So we'll learn a couple of lessons about our work and hope that our guest isn't too long. So the first lesson about work, you might not believe. Okay, first lesson about work, you might not believe, and it's this: work is good. Did you know that? Work is good. I can prove that to you. But I want you to answer a question first. And the question is, when did work first come into our world? Was it before or after everything went wrong? You know, we sometimes call that event the fall. That's when people turned their backs on God and didn't listen to him in the garden. You remember, ate the fruit he had told not to, and everything went wrong. So the question is, did work come into the world before or after everything went wrong? Now, who, any children, they got any thoughts on that? Did work come into the world before or after? What do you think, John? Before. You're absolutely right. Work came into the world before everything went wrong. So, do you remember how the Bible begins? The Bible begins with God made everything, didn't he? He made the world. And do you remember what it says about what God thinks of the world that he made? What are we told? That everything he made was good. That's right. It was good. The world he made was good. And as you go through each day, seeing the different things he made, we find out it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. Until he stands back at the end at everything he's made, and we're told God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. It was very good. So that's how we start at the beginning. Everything God made is good. And then what we do next in the Bible is we zoom in on one of the things in God's good world, and it's the most important thing. It's actually us, because we were made amazingly in God's image. So we zoom in on us, and we find out, well, what does God do with us? What does he want us to do? And this is what we read. We heard a little bit of this just now. The Lord God planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and he put the man he had formed. And do you remember how amazing that garden was? It had those lovely rivers, and there was gold, really good gold there, and lovely, lovely things. It was a beautiful, wonderful place. And he put the man there, he put us there, and what did he want us to do? The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Do you see? Work is good. It's part of good's God creation. It's all good, 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 good work that God has made for us to do in his world. So that's our first lesson, and it's a good one to remember. You mustn't forget that, particularly when you find work is a bit to remember work is good, because you might like the idea of a world without work, but trust me, it would be terrible. It would be terrible. Okay, don't believe me? Okay, I'd like you to imagine that one day you wake up and it's official. On the news, there's a headline. It's official. No one, we're told, has to do any more work. Can you imagine that? You wake up and that's on the news. The whole country, nobody, we're told, has to do any work. What do you think? You think, hey, great. Do you know what I'm going to do? Straight back to bed. Okay, so you go back to bed and you have a lovely long line. And then what happens? So you then get up and you think, brilliant. This is brilliant. No work at all. So I'm going to go down. I'm a bit hungry. I'll say, Mum, can you get me some breakfast? And what does the answer come back? Get it yourself. I'm not doing any work anymore. Mum's not going to make breakfast. I better go and make my own breakfast. So you go down, you make your breakfast. Then you think, right, the whole day's in front of me, no work to do. I'm going to go into town and go to that shop. I've wanted to go there for a long time. So I'll go and catch the bus, stand at the bus stop, stand there for ages. And then there's no bus coming up. Oh, no, hang on, no, the bus drivers, they've stopped working. No, he's not doing any work. Okay, right. So I better walk into town. Takes a while. And I get to my favourite shop, and I try the door, and stuck. It won't open. Actually, it looks a bit dark inside. Oh, hang on. Oh, the people who run the shop, they've stopped working as well. And then I think, I'll tell you what, I'll just go to the cinema. So I walk to the cinema. That's all closed, and no one's working there either. And then it starts to get a bit more serious because you go to the supermarket and then that's closed. But of course, the reason that's closed is because the farmers, they've stopped working, so they're not producing food and no one's transporting anything. And do you see, the world doesn't work unless people work. Work is good. Work is the way that God runs his world, by getting us to work. We work with him. So make no mistake, if we had no work, the whole world wouldn't work at all. Work is good. Work is good. But there's another thing we need to learn as well. We need to remember two things. Work is good, but also work is hard. Work is hard. Because did you see what happened after the fall? Part of our reading, the second part of our reading was about that. After we turn our backs on God, and after we try to do everything our own way, what happens? When God speaks to Adam, he says now that his work will be much harder. Look, he says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat of it. All the days of your life it will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat your food." Do you know, Adam's work, it used to be a pleasure. He'd go out, he'd go to work with a sort of whistle and a spring in his step, and everything would go easily. But then suddenly, look at what it's like. There's painful toil and thorns and thistles and the sweat of your brow. See, work becomes hard and frustrating in a fallen world. And we still feel that, you see. That's why we have those days when it's like that and when it's like that. You know, when you're sitting in your maths lesson and thinking, oh, I just can't get my head around this sort of algebra or whatever it is. Or when your project at work isn't going the way you want it, or that person's driving you crazy you work with, or maybe just sorting out the house is just a real chore. Why is that? It's because we live in a fallen world. So don't be surprised by that. Don't be surprised that work is hard. But that doesn't mean that it's not good. It's still good. So we have to remember these two lessons. Work is good, but work is hard. Okay? Now, I'm hoping that our special guest will be arriving, fairly soon. Tell you what we'll do is we'll sing a song while we wait, and then hopefully he'll turn up at the end. So if you'd like to turn to your sheets, we're going to sing another song that we learnt at HBC. And are you going to sing it to us? Or no? About work already. We've learnt that work is good and work is hard. And I've got some exciting news for us, which is I've learnt that our special guest is in the building. And so let's just see if we can find him. Let's see if... What's that noise? What was that? Is that snoring? Hold on, excuse me for a moment. Oh dear, this is hopeless. Good. Oi, you, wake up. Come here. Come on. Follow me. Come on. Right. I'd like to introduce you to our special guest. This is the sluggard. This is the sluggard. Here he is. Now the sluggard is. He's quite a famous person in the Bible. He turns up in the book of Proverbs, and the sluggard is, well, he's kind of great because he teaches us important things about our work, but he teaches us in a slightly funny way because he gets it all wrong, the sluggard. He doesn't really understand work at all. So you have to see the sluggard and you have to think, don't be like him. Okay, that's the lesson. Don't be like him. Although, it's worth asking yourself the question. We're going to find out a bit more about the sluggard in a moment. But it's worth asking yourself the question. As we look at different things about him, you have to think, do I sometimes do things a bit like that? It's worth asking yourself that question. And if you see things, you think, oh, actually, I think I sometimes do that. Learn a lesson. Don't be like him. So, okay, so wake up. Let's learn a few lessons about the sluggard. First, how do you spot a sluggard? First lesson is he won't get out of bed. Where are you going? What are you doing? Oi, come back here. Oh, I don't believe this. You won't believe this. Look, he's brought his bed in with him. Oh, dear. Right, you see, this is... This is the sluggard, you see. He loves his bed. The sluggard loves his bed. Look what Proverbs says. Look at this. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from his sleep? He just loves it. He loves sleeping at night. He loves sleeping in the day. Or just a little bit of sleep here, a nap there. Oh, I think I just need another rest, and then I'll be all right. His bed is his favorite place in the world. Look at this proverb about him. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. So he does move, but he never really gets anywhere. It's like a door just turning backwards and forward. Hey, do you want to see the sluggard's idea of a workout? Okay, here's a sluggard doing his exercises. Okay, so here he goes to the right. There he goes over to the right and back to the left. Oh, there he goes. And rest. There you are. That's his exercise for the day. Okay, so that's the first thing. He loves his bed. Next thing to look out for with the sluggard is, any excuse not to work. He's full of excuses, the most crazy excuses he comes up with not to work. So let's find out. David, I mean, it's like, what time is it? It's like 10:45. Why aren't you doing any work? What's wrong? Why aren't you up? Why aren't you doing some work?
It's dangerous out there.
Dangerous? Dangerous. It's dry. It's sunny. What do you mean dangerous?
There are things with claws and teeth and...
Claws and teeth? What are you going on about? There's nothing with claws and teeth out here.
There are lions out there.
Lions? That is the most ridiculous excuse I've ever heard. Are you sure? Lions, okay. Well, look at this proverb. Yep, the sluggard, that's the kind of thing he says. There's a lion. There's a lion in the road. Oh, I can't do any work. There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. Ridiculous excuse. But you see, the sluggard can do that. And I wonder whether you ever do anything a bit like coming up with ridiculous excuses. Why aren't you working? I haven't got the right pen. Or, the sun's shining. It's too nice outside. I think it'll just help if I need to relax a bit first. And then I can work properly. Do you know what? I just need to check that website again. Yeah, I can't work because I just need to look at that one thing. Do you do that? Do you make those ridiculous excuses? Don't be like him. Just get on with your work. Get on with it. Okay, so any excuse. Right, next lesson. How to spot a sluggard. Number three, he's just unbelievably lazy. Unbelievably lazy. So let's see this. Look at this proverb. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy even to bring it back to his mouth. Isn't that ridiculous? Look, okay, right, David, come on. Time to get up. And come on, if you're going to do anything, you need to have some breakfast. So get yourself out of bed. Come on. Let's get you some cereal, cornflakes. Okay. There we go. This will give you a bit of energy for the day. There you are. Have some breakfast. And then in a while, we'll be fine. Okay. And we'll think about the work you can do. And then we can make the most of the day after a slow start. I think we can really turn it around. Okay, I think we can do it. Okay, so why aren't you eating?
It's too heavy.
This is ridiculous. I mean, can you, look, are we really, I can't believe, we're really going to have to do this, aren't we? There we are. Here we go. Look, there we go. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I mean, that is just hopeless, isn't it? Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. We can't do the simplest thing. I wonder if you're... you're going to be here all day, aren't we? We can take that away. I mean, are you ever a bit like that? Are you ever like that? You sort of find your work hard, so you kind of won't even do anything. You won't do anything. You know, a teacher might say to you, well, you might find it hard, but you could have started. You could have started. Now, tell you what, sluggard, you need to learn a few lessons. I'd like you to sit there. Do I have to walk you over? Come on. Sit there, right? And you, sluggard, need to learn a few lessons about work. And do you know who we're going to learn from? It's going to be a bit humbling for you. We're going to learn some lessons from this guy, from the ant. Okay, here's an ant. And the ant can teach you some lessons about work. Look at what these proverbs say. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest time." You could really learn a few lessons from the ants, couldn't you? I mean, when you think you see ants, you never see ants just sort of sitting around, do you? Just in a little circle of them, just sort of sitting around together. They're always busy, 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 aren't they, ants? They don't have to be told what to do the whole time. I mean, that's another feature of the sluggard. I mean, he kind of does stuff, but he has to be told to do everything, be reminded, have you done this? Have you done that? Oh, does that ring any bells? Yeah, it can do, can't it? But about ants, they don't need someone to tell them what to do. They're always working and getting food and gathering and busy, busy. Look how hard, and look at this. Look at this. You know these kinds of ants? They've got to be your favorite kind of ants. These kind of leaf cutter ants, aren't they? Look at them. They're carrying these giant leaves, working really, really hard. Look how hard they're working. And hang on, what are you doing? Oh no, he's gone back to bed again. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Do you know what Proverbs says to you? It says, look at the ant. Look at the ant. And then it says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Can you see? I wonder if you can see the lesson that we're learning from this sluggard. The lesson is this. It's good to work hard. Don't be like him. It's good to work hard. It's good and it's wise to work hard for a couple of reasons. So first, because actually it's better for you. It's better for you if you work hard. So come on, sluggard, up you get. Sluggard, I want to talk to you. Go out of bed, out of bed. Again, yes. Sluggard, now someone told me, I find it quite hard to believe, but someone told me that you really like your vegetable patch. You like growing vegetables. So maybe tell us about that. How's the vegetable patch doing this year? It's an exciting time for gardeners, isn't it? Everything's kind of ready. How's your vegetable patch?
It's not great, actually.
Not very good. Oh dear, have you got some problems of diseases and of what's the problem there with the vegetable patch this year?
Loads of weeds.
Okay, so you didn't? Did you ever, you know, go and maybe take some of them out?
No.
Okay, so you got weeds. Any other problems?
Really dry.
Oh, it's really dry. Yeah. I mean, what about watering the veg? Did you do that?
No.
Right. Okay. I mean, actually, were there any in amongst the weeds? Were there any vegetables at all?
I never actually planted any.
Oh, I didn't plant any. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. It would be better for him if he worked. Absolutely hopeless. Look at these other proverbs that tell us how good it is to work. There's the sluggard there. Look, sluggard doesn't plow in season, so at harvest time he looks and he finds nothing. He suffers for it. Then look at these. This proverb tells us all hard work pays off, but if all you do is talk, you'll be poor. It's saying, you know, it's no good just talking about your work. You actually got to do it, got to get on with it. And if you do, then you're likely to do well in life. Or look at this one, another proverb. It says, hands that work hard will rule, but people who don't want to work will become slaves. There's a truth in that, isn't there? That people who work hard tend to get sort of noticed and they tend to kind of move up in the world and so tend to be given important jobs. Whereas people who don't or won't work, well, they're likely always to have to be told what to do by other people. It's just how life works. So what is it? It's good to work hard. It's better for us if we do. Life will work out better, probably, if we work hard. But also, it's better for others as well. It's better for others. Now, David, there's I gave you that letter that I said you really, really had to post. It's very important, and you said you'd take it, and you have posted that letter for me, haven't you?
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
It's on my list.
It's on your list?
Oh. Well, when I write my list, it will be on my list.
Oh, dear. Oh, do sit down. I mean, that's just, it's hopeless, isn't it? It's so annoying. So annoying with someone else who doesn't do any work. Look at this verse here. It says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. I wonder if over the summer, maybe you had a barbecue, which is lovely, isn't it? But you know, sometimes you get a bit closer to the barbecue and the smoke comes your way. And what happens? It gets in your eyes and then it's really irritating. You have to kind of move around, try and get the other side of where the wind's blowing. And vinegar to the teeth, I'm told, is just as irritating. And it's so irritating to be with someone who just never does the things that they're supposed to do. It's hopeless. So it's better for us, and it's better for others. So these are important lessons, aren't they? We've got to learn some lessons from the sluggard. What have we seen so far? We've seen work is good. We've seen work is hard. And we've learned that it's good to work hard. And there's one more lesson that we're going to learn about work. But I think, first of all, we should say goodbye and a sort of thank you to our special guest. So, Slugger, do you want to? Have you got any plans for the day at all? Okay, yeah, back to bed. Is that? Yeah, I'm gonna have a nap. Okay, fine. Okay, well, small ripple of applause for the the Slugger. So there's the Slugger. We can learn some lessons from him, can't we? And it's probably just worth saying. I think one thing worth saying is, aren't we glad that the Lord Jesus wasn't like that? You know, Lord Jesus had a very important work to do when he came into the world, didn't he? To come into the world to save us and going to the cross, very hard work. But Jesus kept going at that work. He didn't give up, did he? And he didn't make excuses, and he didn't get distracted by other things. But he kept going. He went to the cross because he loved us. And praise God for what he is like in doing that work. Right, we are going to sing again before we learn our last point. We're going to be singing about trusting in God. Our God is a God who is always at work, and therefore we can trust in him to watch over our lives. So let's stand and we'll sing together. In just a moment, we're going to turn to pray about some of the things that we've been learning. But first, we're just going to learn one more brief lesson about our work. What have we seen so far? We've seen those important things. We've seen that work is good. We've seen that because it's part of God's good world, his good creation. Work is hard because we live in a fallen world, a world where we turned away from God and we suffer the consequences of that. But we've learned from the sluggard, haven't we? It's good to work hard. Life is generally going to work out well if we work hard. But there's one more lesson I want to learn, and it's this. It's always good to do God's work. It's always good to do God's work. We have to think, well, what is God's work? Well, God's work is every opportunity that we have to serve him and to live for him. So think about our church family, every opportunity we have to encourage others and build them up. You know, we all need encouragement to keep going in the Christian life, or maybe to find out more about the Christian life. But every opportunity we have to encourage someone else with just a brief word is a great thing to do. Every opportunity to serve someone else, to make their life easier. Every opportunity we have where we see someone's need and we meet their need in God's name. That's God's work. Every opportunity we take to pray for someone, to bring someone else's needs before our Heavenly Father who loves to answer our prayers. And every opportunity we take to speak to others about Jesus so that they can know him if they don't know him, find out more about him. So every chance that we have to do those things, we're doing the Lord's work. Every time that we take a chance to sort of be different because we're a Christian in what we're doing the right thing, is a chance to do the Lord's work. And whenever we do doing those things, we're doing his work, we're building his kingdom. And hear what Paul says about God's work. He says this. He says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In other words, that the work we do for God is never wasted. The work we do for God is never wasted. The great thing about God's work and his kingdom is it will last forever. When we serve God, when we live to please him, the effects of that will last forever. So whatever work we're doing, whatever work we do each week, let's give ourselves fully to God's work, to pleasing him. Well, should we pray? Let's pray together, and then Lisa's going to carry on leading us in our prayers. Father God, thank you for this chance we've had to learn together about work, and we pray that these lessons would stay with us, that we'd walk in your ways. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.